Let's say hello to Sportsnet Major League Baseball insider Ben Nicholson-Smith on Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. He joins us today on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Ben, appreciate you doing this afternoon. And you know that we've been talking a lot about the NHL and the NBA and their proposed returns to play and getting closer and closer to enacting that. And NBA has a player vote coming up tomorrow, so they're knocking on the door to resuming training camps this month. And yet here's baseball, and things are a little bit more in the mud right now. What is your read as to where baseball is right now and kind of the situation the owners and the players find themselves in?
Well, you know, it is disappointing that they haven't been able to find common ground just yet, especially when you see leagues like the NBA coming together, and especially at this time, you know, in our world when there are obviously much bigger picture issues with the pandemic and with all of the racism that we're seeing. So, you know, I think that's the blanket statement here. But at the same time, I don't think that it's too late by any stretch for Major League Baseball and the players to come together on an agreement. When you're talking about so many billions of dollars at stake and the fact that there are so many health and safety questions, this does take time. In a negotiation, things can get heated. There are a lot of stakeholders here, a lot of players involved, a lot of owners involved, and to get them all on the same page will take time. But you know, it is, with all that being said, still disappointing that they haven't yet reached an agreement that would allow them to move forward.
What are the fundamental issues here on both sides? What is holding up a clear path to returning?
Well, I think there are two main issues. And one, obviously, is health and safety. When you're looking at a league that would be trying to return under circumstances that we just really haven't seen before. And of course, that's something that all leagues are dealing with. It's a bit different in each sport. Baseball, you have so many people, you know, so many players, so much support staff. And of course, it's a daily schedule. So it's really a lot of health and safety questions that have to be answered. And the sides are working together on that. But the sticking point, and the one that might be harder to resolve in some ways, is the question of economics and who gets paid how much. Basically, the players know they are not going to get their full salaries that they had expected in 2020. And that's a given. But it does become a question of what percentage they get, how that ties to the number of games that the teams play, and how it ties to the source of revenues that the owners are able to tap into, whether that's TV money, whether that's extra playoff rounds. All of that is still on the table right now. And until those sides can come close to an agreement on the financial side of things, then all of this will remain in limbo.
So what are, like, what's kind of the path to making this happen in your eyes from the outside? What are the, whether it's concessions or things they need to get common ground on, what's kind of the path for you that this can end up happening?
Man, that's a really good question. I think it comes down to what the money looks like. And so, you know, there are a lot of different ways that this could go. It could be tied to revenue as a percentage that goes to players. It could be a deferral system where players get a certain portion of their salaries now and they get more later. Once we expect revenue to come back and owners to be bringing in something closer to that standard revenue. So, it will take creativity. I don't know exactly what that looks like. And it's not an easy one either because, you know, even within the Players Association, you have guys like Mike Trout and Justin Verlander who are making $35 million a year, and you have guys who are just entering the league who are making less than $1 million. So it's very complicated. I honestly, like, if I had an answer, you know, I really would try to present that. I would try to sort of write that or share that. But, you know, it's tough to find a solution that really would work for everyone, and especially because we don't know exactly what the owners are making. We don't know exactly what the revenue looks like, because they haven't opened their books, and I wouldn't expect that to change anytime soon.
Well, and if you did have the path forward, I would suggest you could mediate between the players and the owners as well. That would be a good next step, too. It's funny. We had Shai on yesterday, Shai Davidi, and his kind of the big takeaway from me from our chat with him was he just – can't see how owners and players would, in the end, allow a season to not be played under these conditions based on economic stuff. And said, like, as bleak as it looks right now, or as bleak as some of the reporting is right now, he believes that this is still going to get figured out. Is that kind of where you sit as well?
Yeah, I would agree on that. I think that it would be so catastrophic for baseball to let a year go by where no games are played. And we saw that in 1994 when the World Series was canceled. That even was only, you know, the late summer and fall that we didn't have baseball, and it was still so damaging for the sport. To have a full year go by at a time that people are home more often than ever, they could use the entertainment. It could be a kind of force of a social change in our world as well. When you look at baseball, obviously, as an institution, has a history of doing that with Jackie Robinson, and we could certainly use that now in our society. But if they were to sit this one out, I think that would be really damaging. They would take a PR hit that would take decades to recover from. I don't think that anyone on either side is so short-sighted as to lose perspective on that. But, you know, until we have a deal, we don't have any guarantees either.
Yeah, with Ben Nicholson Smith of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca, Major League Baseball insider with us this afternoon, Pete.
Ben, one of the initial proposals that was brought up was everyone stays in Arizona for a long time and plays a bunch of baseball, and the players tended to scoff at that one. But now we're at a point where the timeline could be similar to what what the NBA and what the NHL are looking at, and all of those leagues are going to be in hub cities. Do you think we could see a Major League Baseball hub city?
Man, it would be tough. And again, I think it goes back to the volume of games that would have to be played. I think, you know, if you're looking at in the NBA and NHL, mostly that would be during the playoffs. So you've kind of cut down the number of teams. And even then, you're usually playing maybe three times a week as opposed to six or seven times a week. So I think in baseball, it would be more challenging. Now, you could try it if you had three or four hub cities and you played multiple games per day at each stadium. So, you know, let's say it's in the Florida area. At the Tropicana Field, you would have a 1 p.m. game, a 4 p.m. game, a 7 p.m. game, and really stagger it to maximize the number of baseball games you get in one spot. So technically, it's possible. I still think when you're looking at all the logistics involved and, you know, what happens if one person tests positive for COVID-19, they were in the same dugout, they were, you know, like, you introduce all these different factors. And then you have the fact that teams, the Blue Jays included, by the way, who would prefer to play out of their home stadiums and out of their home facilities for lots of reasons. One, some, you know, connection to the fans. Two, the facilities are better. I mean, the spring facilities are not designed to support a team for a 6-month season. So the facilities are better in the home stadium. So I don't see it happening in baseball, but I mean, you know, this would be, I've been proven wrong and surprised on so many different fronts. So I don't think we can rule it out either.
As far as what a season might look like, if we were to get back to baseball, this one, we hear oftentimes it's a marathon, not a sprint. This one would kind of look like a sprint. How would a young Blue Jays team stack up in a sprint of a season?
Yeah, I think it might actually help them. I think, you know, when you think about a guy like Vlad Jr., whose conditioning wasn't there last year, I mean, over the course of 162, he started getting tired and started getting fatigued toward the end of that season. If you're looking at a shorter season, then your chances of getting tough probably go up. And Nate Pearson would be another reason that I think the Jays could be optimistic here. If the Blue Jays had everything unfold the way we expected this season to go, then Pearson would have started at AAA. And that was where the Blue Jays felt his development would be best served. But under these circumstances, there won't be a AAA season in all likelihood. So that means the top prospects around baseball will, in all likelihood, have a season in the major leagues, because that's where they can develop. That's where they can get the reps in. So if Pearson's in the majors, if Vladdy's, you know, playing a higher percentage of the Blue Jays games, this is a team that could surprise some people. Now, in a short season, things can go wrong just as easily as they can go right, and there's a lot of randomness involved. But it would really be interesting, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Blue Jays made a playoff run if the season is a shortened one.
On At the Letters this week, you and Arden had a really good conversation about how different minor league baseball and college baseball to a certain extent too could look once this whole thing is done, just based on the draft only being five rounds and things of that nature. Do you think that we're going to come back to a world where Major League Baseball is, for the most part, looking pretty similar, but everything underneath it is a whole lot different than what we're used to?
Yeah, I think the minors are going to look way different. And, you know, it's such a big shift among many, obviously a lot of big shifts in our society right now and in baseball. But, you know, when you think about the minors as we've always known them, you know, it hasn't been uncommon for teams to have six or seven affiliates. And that's Bluefield to, you know, teams that, you know, we probably never see in our lives, the Lansing Lugnuts. And then you have, of course, you know, teams like the Vancouver Canadians and the Buffalo Bisons, and those ones are a little bit closer to home and a little bit more on the radar, the Dunedin Blue Jays as well. But the expectation is if they're cutting down the number of minor league teams, and if they're cutting down the draft, which, you know, both of those are happening now, then you're not going to have that same number of affiliates. You probably have, you know, a couple low A affiliates, you know, low A, a high A, double A, a triple A. And then maybe beyond that, for your 16, 17-year-old Latin American kids that come into the system, those players end up at an academy system, either in the Dominican or potentially in Florida, but they wouldn't be playing in affiliated baseball as we know it.
Chatting with our MLB insider, Ben Nicholson-Smith, here on Pinder and Steinberg on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Pat?
Just a couple more before we wrap up with you, Ben, and that's you talked about the draft, and obviously this year's draft is significantly different than any other in recent memory. Just in terms of preparation from who you've talked to with the Blue Jays and otherwise in Major League Baseball, how much different has preparation for a five-round Major League Baseball draft this month been as opposed to every other year?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the difference from 40 rounds to five, that's just, I mean, that's a huge, huge concentration that's happening right now. And, you know, you're cutting out 35 rounds, you know, 30 teams. You're talking about thousands and thousands of players who are no longer on the radar of major league teams in the way that they normally would be. So what you end up with is you're really picking the cream of the crop.
Sounds like we have lost Ben Nicholson-Smith. Phone connection going down there right at the right near the end of the interview. If we can reconnect with Ben, that'd be good, Logan, just because I am fascinated about a five-round Major League Baseball. Like, Kleiner, we thought that going from nine to seven rounds in the NHL was significant. How about going from 40 rounds to five in a Major League Baseball draft? Now, it's only a one-time thing, but that's a big drop. Ben, we got you back. Appreciate you reconnecting with us. You're right in the middle of your response on, you know, going from 40 to five rounds and how much of a massive shift that is for everybody, if you want to pick up right there.
Yeah, it's such a big shift. You know, when you think about the cream of the crop, really, is where that focus exists now. You have to hit with some of those five picks. I mean, there's no way that you can balance out your draft by finding a gem in the 10th round or in the 29th round. There is that pressure to find stars in the first five rounds, and that always exists, but this is going to be a different kind of draft, and certainly a much shorter one than what we're used to.
How, in terms of the Blue Jays, in terms of needs or things that they're focusing on from a Blue Jays specific standpoint, what are you focused in? What should we be looking at this year's draft?
I mean, picking fifth overall puts them in a great position. And, you know, if you're the Blue Jays, the biggest organizational need always is pitching and then probably outfield. But I don't see the Blue Jays drafting for need. I mean, if they saw a shortstop who was, you know, at the top of that class, they would take him, even with Bo Bichette at that position. But at this point, there are some really good college arms. It's, from what I hear, a very strong college draft. And there's a high school outfielder, Zach Veen, who's based in Florida and really a promising player who's on the Blue Jays' radar and one of the players who could be in that mix right around the number five pick. But at this point in the draft, you just got to take the best impact that you can find and then trust that you'll be able to find a place for that player eventually.
Good stuff, as always, Ben. Really appreciate the time and catching up with you today. enjoy the draft, and hopefully we can say enjoy watching some baseball in the very near future as well. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. I think we'll have baseball back before too long, but in the meantime, thanks for having me on.
Fingers crossed. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks.